we present, Lord, so that there might rise up among us a whisper of your glory. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Ubi caritas et amor. Ubi caritas Deus ibi est. Ubi caritas is one of the more familiar of the repetitive, meditative, prayerful chants used in the daily prayer of the Taizé community in France. Its literal translation is, where charity and true love are, God is there. The text is an antiphon or refrain for a Latin hymn, traditionally sung during the Eucharist in the Maundy-Thursday rite of foot washing. The antiphon suggests that God is present wherever charity, care for the other, and love, the same love with which God loves each of us, is shared, expressed, and given freely. The other intention of this loving, repetitive, meditative chant, written by Jacques Berthier with the Taizé community, is that as we repeat it often enough, it will call forth from us the love God offers in and through us. As I meditated on our scriptures for this fifth Sunday of Easter, I found myself humming the Ubi Caritas antiphon and then was singing and found myself whisked off to the garden on the Mount of Olives. In my memory, it was the year 2001, and I was in the Holy Land with about 25 parishioners from the parish where I was rector then. Among the travelers were my parents and our daughter, Sarah. Sarah was in her junior year of high school and had been for some years a member in the church's chorister program. Our choristers, along with our adult choir, learned many of these Taizé chants used in our Holy Week liturgies and in our Lenten midweek Taizé services in that place. The choristers led our Maundy Thursday service and the Good Friday hands-on passion walk that we offered to our younger children. The choristers always sang Ubi Caritas at these services, and particularly as the children approached the garden that we had set up in the chapel as part of their passion walk. Our trip to Israel and parts of Palestine together is a much-loved memory, and it flooded back to me. Singing Ubi Caritas put me right back in that beloved memory. As we approached the garden on the Mount of Olives, having crossed the Kidron Valley, we could see 2,000-year-old olive trees and feel the very breath of God on our necks. You could audibly hear the collective intake breath of awe from our traveling group. We heard the sweet sound of singing as Ubi Caritas began beautifully ringing out from one among us. It started to rise as one by one we joined my daughter's voice until the many other traveling groups joined in. It brings tears every time I remember it, not just because I was so moved by my daughter's sudden awe at where she was, what she was experiencing, and what compelled from her, but all the separate voices, most not knowing one another, spontaneously singing in various languages out of the very inspiration of the Holy Spirit, this song meant to lead us to the love God so dreams of, through Christ died for, and by the power of the Holy Spirit urges us toward. There we were, standing in a land that had seen such deep conflict, war, death, lifelong battles for the holy places that mean so much to the Abrahamic faiths. And all of us sing in a myriad of languages this call of God to love as we are loved. I can feel the awe I felt there even now. It gives me hope in these days when God's dream seems at times lost. Our son Miles became keenly interested in world records when he was in middle school. He ordered the then latest edition of the Book of World Records. And from then on, each night we were regaled in great detail as he shared each amazing world record with us. Some I remember to this day. Did you know that the longest love letter ever written was penned by a citizen of Paris? It was written by Marcel de Leclerc to Magdalene de Valois. The letter contained only three words, "I love you," written 1,875,000 times, 1,000 times the calendar year of 1875, which is the year it was written in. Leclerc did not write it himself. He hired a secretary. However, he so loved saying those words about his love for Magdalene that he repeated them verbatim, and the hired secretary repeated them each time after him. So the phrase itself was spoken 5,625,000 times, an amazing investment of time and effort. But even enunciating "I love you" thousands upon thousands of times does not mean that one truly has love for the other in the way of God's love. Love is richer, more resonant, at once as simple and as complicated as the life force that enables a bud to flower and binds unlikely hearts in loyalty for a lifetime, often despite impossible circumstances. There are at least four Greek words for love, an offering of answers to the perennial question, "How do I love thee? Let me count the ways." The four names of love I'm thinking about today are philia, storge, eros, and agape. Philios, or the love of friendship, according to C.S. Lewis in his book, The Four Loves, is the happiest and the most fully human of all loves. It is the crown of life in the school of virtue, something that raises us almost above humanity. This love, free from instincts, free from duties, and free without qualification from the need to be needed, is eminently spiritual, a relationship between persons at their highest level of individuality. Friends talk about their common interests and are willing to include like-minded others in their circle. Storge is the love that manifests as affection, as intended of parents to their children, for example. It is the humblest of all the loves, gradual and unemphatic, and serving as a healthy base for the other loves. It is familiar and appreciative of even the most unpromising people in our lives. It is not puffed up, it suffers long, and is kind. And then there is eros, or erotic love. An appetite for this aspect of love is what the TV camera seeks to convey everywhere we look, it seems. But true eros is, of course, a much more private treasure, best expressed in a relationship also graced with commitment, respect, dignity, friendship, and affection. In reality, eros is intensely personal and precious, and love would not be as complete, as exquisitely fulfilling without its power. Eros does unashamedly desire the beloved. And so a superficial cheapening of its reality is, alas, easy to portray, as we see in so much of reality TV and some movies, for example. And like all the other aspects of love, genuine eros requires time and doesn't pause for commercial breaks. Lastly, but soaring far above all forms of human love, there is agape, God's unmerited benevolence toward us. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends, John 15:13. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us, Romans 5:8. Agape is God's love in us that keeps us connected to Christ, that gives us the courage, the strength, and the will to keep God's greatest commandments as a sign of our promise to love our Lord and God. And it sustains in us the power to love sisters, brothers, and siblings in Christ in appropriate ways, in ways that honor all God's beloveds without limitation, empowers, builds up, and sets all free to live as God intends. It is this love that inspires all of the lesser loves in their forms and ways, whether we're able to consciously realize these connections or not. Agape is that love that we must will the love of God within us to employ. It is that love we muster up that offers life and mercy, justice and hope into lives that we sometimes would rather not be accountable for, but to whom we are inextricably bound in the love of God. It is this profound love that the Advocate, the Comforter, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete of God breathes into us and comes to open us up to embrace. We cannot do it alone. Alone we are distracted by reality TV love, fairy tale love, by the desire to love only our own. This Advocate brings to us the inner desire and strength to truly abide in God's love, a love that went to the cross for not just his own, but for all, not just for his beloved mother and disciples, but for the thief, the criminal, and those who were nailed him there as well. In this great offering of self, of love beyond anything we will ever fully know in this life, all love is inspired, filled with truth, and connected. All love abides in God's love. Philip made this connection. In today's lesson in Acts, we see an unlikely friendship love, filio, a love of mutual respect and kindness, generosity, faithfulness, and blessing. As Paul Tillich has written, in every moment of genuine love, we are dwelling in God and God in us, abiding. Ubi caritas et amor. Ubi caritas Deus ibi est. Where true love is, God is there. This day's glimpse of love shows us Philip the evangelist, carrying out Jesus' command to spread God's love in him among all people. He is obedient to an angel of the Lord who tells him to travel the wilderness road from Jerusalem to Gaza and to join a serious man who is sitting reading in his chariot. This foreign man, a court official of Candace, the Ethiopian queen, a eunuch, is perplexed by the words he has encountered in the book of the prophet Isaiah. He needs someone to explain, to connect him in his particular need to the force that flows through the words. It is the same force that flows by the Spirit through Philip's obedience, enabling the contact that has been made against odds in a desert place. Do we recognize this kind of love when we see it anymore? The spark that is lit there, like one candle kindling another, serves to reveal to us that God's love is real, that it abides with us. Its effects continuously shine upon and within us. And in ways unexpected in all relationships, we can experience this love as surely as belief, as close as prayer, and as powerful as God's own love for us. Reality TV and other contemporary forms of what is labeled entertainment is a way to shut out the loneliness, pain, and lethargy of pandemic time, terrorism, hatred, and death. But it is no way to come to know the love which God in Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, brings into reality in our lives. This love changes lives with generosity, respect, genuine affection, deep and abiding care, and a desire for the good of the other that comes from knowing, loving, and offering ourselves. This love is of God. And this love can enliven anew in us the desire, the longing, the commitment, the faith, and the courage to keep God's greatest commandments and love one another as we are loved by God. God's dream is not lost, dear ones. On that sunny day in Jerusalem on the Mount of Olives, I was filled with the power that true love brings. The love of God in each person, known and unknown to me, suddenly singing all around me, reminds me that love is alive, and the dream of God's beloved community is not lost. As our presiding bishop, Michael Curry, writes on the very last page of his book, Love is the Way, when God, who is love, becomes our great spiritual center of gravity, and love our moral compass, we live differently, regardless of what the world around us does. And the world changes for the better, one life at a time. So don't give up on love. Don't give up on God's dream. Listen to it, trust it, give into it, obey it. Love can help and heal when nothing else can. Love can lift up and liberate when nothing else will. Ubi caritas et amor. Ubi caritas Deus ibi et.